Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The Capitalist Investor. As always, you got me, your boy, Diamond Hands D. We got Cool Hands Luke today, and Tony Z. What's up, man? How you doing?
What's up? Back again.
Did you guys enjoy celebrating America?
Oh, yeah.
America, yeah. My daughter whipped me, man. I took her to fireworks Saturday, or Sunday and Monday, and I'm still exhausted. 2 days later, I'm still, like, got no energy.
I swear, it was nice to see so many people out, though, over in my part of town over here, over in Westlake. They had a ton of people come for the fireworks. I mean, there had to have been a couple thousand people in this park, and you couldn't even move around. So it was great to see. I mean, I just still feel like people have that mentality after being locked up for 2 years straight. I still feel like people still have the mentality that they appreciate the smaller things, which is getting out on 4th of July and enjoying celebrating, you know, where we came from, the freedoms that we have.
Yeah, I kind of, honestly, kind of the lockdown, staying away from people is like beyond me. Like, I stopped thinking about it. And like, I feel like I'm back in the mode of, you know, yeah. I'm not going to get cooties from somebody.
Well, you never hear it anymore. It's not talked about, but that's besides the point. What do we got today, D?
All right. So today I think we'll talk about, you know, I got a got a lot of problems with what's going on, and everyone's going to hear about it today. So I think actually today it was announced the Biden administration planning on revamping the student loan process, going to add in a bunch of stuff, you know, and they always want to talk about the student loan forgiveness. So we'll get into that, the points of their plan, and if it's a good idea. And as always,
if it's a good idea,
which it is obviously not, but no spoilers up front. And then, we got a bunch of topics, but we also want to touch on, you know, some of the signals that bonds are sending right now. Also not very good, but we'll talk about those and any of the recessionary, factors that might be, coming off of those warning signs. And then maybe a few more fun ones if we have time. So
they're all fun, D.
Well, not this first one, honestly, because it really makes me mad. it's just such an asinine policy, especially at this time. But that's really what bothers
that's
me.
That's the key at this time. Haven't we learned that there's no such thing as free money?
Yeah.
You would have thought we learned that lesson over the past 2 years, but apparently, you know, especially the left don't understand that. They continue to just try to give out free money.
So, you know, as you know, we're experiencing many negative things in this country, very expensive gas, $5 a gallon here in Ohio, crazy inflation across the board, crazy inflation on food prices. I think chicken is up like 48% or something like that. And just a generally bad feeling across a lot of different issues. The Biden administration thought it would be a good idea to talk about student loan forgiveness and printing some more money. So, you know, just real quick, well, the plan involves many different things, you know, protections for defrauded borrowers, an overhaul of the loan forgiveness program, which takes into account public service, apparently. Many are saying that they're just using this as a spearhead to get the $10,000 forgiveness. $10,000 forgiveness across the board is kind of what people are thinking that this is going to turn into.
I honestly think that they're doing this because midterms are coming, and loan forgiveness, or it affects Democrats and Republicans. I think they're trying to scoop up votes that people are on the fence with, saying, hey, I'll knock off some debt, you know?
But see, there's a give and take with that, because you're going to offend every parent, every grandparent, every 40-year-old that paid off their debt. I mean, you, like, it's essentially you gain the votes of 20 to 30-year-olds. You lose the vote of everybody else.
Because the 20, 30-year-old's not going to go vote unless they have a purpose or a reason. Hey, every one of you has loan debt. Come on, I'll take care of that if you vote for me. That is exactly what is going on, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean this is...
And it's anti-capital, you know, it's anti-capitalism. And they're shoving it to the top of their agenda. Like Derek said, like, we have all these other problems. Everything costs twice as much than it did last year. I don't care what you say, 8%, 20%. Yeah. Everything's
twice.
What happened to the days when you went to college because you did well in high school and you got scholarships? Yeah. What happened to those days? Yeah, and now it's a fundamental problem that we have in society, that college is pushed on every single person that goes through high school. When that the case is, not everybody needs a college education, and it should be an investment for the future, right? You should, if you're paying $30,000, $40,000 a year for, let's just call it maybe an art degree, you got to make sure that what you're going to do outside of college, an art degree is going to pay off. It might if you're going down the right path, but if you're just planning on maybe painting pictures, who knows if that's going to pay off? Like, you got to make sure that what you're doing is a true investment. I think we've gotten so far away from that.
Yeah. I mean, they're you know, the $10,000 per person, that would eliminate one third of the debt, right? But that would cost us $300 billion. And then you got, you know, Elizabeth Warren coming in and saying, hey, let's just give her $150,000. Like, let's step it up. And but there's still, you know, and there are all these numbers that go all over the place, but you know, you still have 3 million people that have over $100,000. I mean, it doesn't end. But to wipe it all out, it's $1.7 trillion. Hey, we're down $20 trillion. I mean, it's only what at this point, what the hell? You know, like, fine, dude. What is that, 5% more? Like, 5% more debt? I don't know. Like, I don't know anymore. This is ridiculous. But I think our society is starting to... you know, like you said, like a scholarship, like that was something that you fought for. Like when we're giving everything away, like, I don't need to study anymore. I don't need to work hard. I don't need to go, you know, like calculus was a big problem for me in high school. So, I went there at 7:30 when school started at 8:30. So I could bug the teacher and be like, hey, I had a problem with these problems yesterday. Like, what am I missing? Like, I went early every day so I can get good grades and hopefully get a scholarship and get accepted. Like, I did all of those extra things because no one was giving anything away when I was going to school.
Think about it this way. We see gas prices right now, 5-plus gallon, and people are deciding maybe they're not going to go travel as much because it's expensive, right? Maybe you're not going to go buy that new car that's up 50% because of how expensive it is. With college... that's the issue too with what we're seeing with college, the cost of education, is that there is no basically give and take with college. It's like, okay, I don't care what price I'm paying, I'm going to college. Like, that's the mentality. Usually everything else in the world, everything you buy, you get priced out of it at some point. Like, that's just how that works.
When the college start lowering prices, when people stop going because they can't afford it, like,
that would be the supply and demand economics, right? And that's what that comes down to. So if you want to fundamentally change the system, like, we need to stop pushing college and start pushing other ways to get educated, because there are ways outside of college to get educated. The trades are great. And then also there's a new school that's popping up, mainly over in California, the Silicon Valley area. But I think you're going to start to see these schools pop up a lot more. These schools, essentially, you have a contract with these schools. They have give you a 4-year degree. They're accredited. They have you get a bachelor's degree. You pay nothing to go to college. But the first 5 years out of college, you give a percent of your salary back to the college. I think that's a much better, way of going about school, because the issue is debt is so easily accessible right now for college. If we get rid of the debt issue and we have people not relying on debt and just paying off the interest and not paying the principal, and we can just pay a little bit of our salary, we can plan better. People naturally can plan better around that. So I think that's the way education is going.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's when we talk about taking responsibility for things, like, you need to go to college with a plan, right? If you go and get an accounting degree or a finance degree or you know, something like that, and you want to work in, you know, something like we do here, you know, that's a plan. If you go and pay $180,000 for a liberal arts degree, you're probably not going to get a good of a job.
Well, I use the art degree. If you're going to get an art degree, that's great. Yeah. Like, we need that kind of creativity. We need that in the world. But you have to, again, it comes back to that plan. If your goal is just to not have a plan out of college, not have a plan on how you're going to fit in society, maybe a business idea that you should be developing through college,
then you're going to be, you're not going to graduate and get a job right away. Like, it pays $100,000. I think that's the other stat I saw. I think it's like 60% of people now graduating expect to make $100,000 out of college.
Yeah.
That's a huge disconnect from, you know, where things actually land. Right.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's also, you know, talk about revamping the process. Like, if so, let's say I, you know, I'm an 18-year-old kid. I got great grades in college or in high school, and I don't want to go to college. I want to start my own business. You know, say it's a landscaping company, right? And, you know, I cut grass in high school and all this good stuff, and I got a business plan. I show up to a bank, and if I got no cosigners, is anyone giving me a $100,000 loan?
No, absolutely.
No, literally no one. There's zero chance of that happening.
Right. But if you say you want to go to college, like,
anyone's willing to hand out the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll give you $500,000 for med school. Yeah. I mean, why not? Right.
All right. So at the end of the day, it feels like votes are trying to be bought. And what do you think happens? So, like, we could talk about different ways to fund college. Is this going to happen or not?
Well, so 12% of the country has debt. All right, has student loan debt. So that means, you know, basically they're asking 88% of the country to pay for these 12% of the population. It's the most ridiculous legislation. There's going to be the only people that would support this are that 12%.
Can they pay my mortgage for like 6 months, please?
Yeah, seriously. If I'm just, you know, a little down in the dumps, could Biden pay my mortgage for the next 6 months?
Yeah.
So, you know, I could just
there's no such thing
get a little R&R.
There's no such thing as bankruptcy anymore.
But that 12% is of voting age, and you get half of them to swing to a side that they typically wouldn't or always on the fence. That's a big swing, man. Like, yeah, it's only 12%, but that's, you know, you're always going to have your diehard Republicans. You're going to have your diehard Democrats. How do you get the people on the fence to move? And that's why
that is
what it's going to happen.
I don't think anything's going to happen. One of the reasons being that we have what 7 months left, or what's 4 months left. Jeez, time's flying by. 4 months left before basically Democrats are voted out of office everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I'm not that confident they're going to get anything done in 4 months, and I don't think we have to worry about it after we get through November.
Yeah,
so I don't think anything's going to happen, and best there. Politicians love to speak anything that sounds resonates with certain voters, like we talked about, even though they know in the back of their head and in their hearts that it's not best for America.
Right.
That's the problem. You essentially have to sell your soul to the devil to be a politician, but that's besides the point.
Good point.
All right, last thing. I'll say here, the endowment funds of the top 20 colleges. So basically, Harvard has a $52 million endowment fund. So that's just like money that's, you know, sitting around in their savings account, basically. So that means that for every student that goes to Harvard, they have like almost $2.3 million in the endowment fund to back up each one of those students. You know, that you say that's Harvard. Okay, that's fine. Number two on the list is the University of Texas. So that's a public freaking school. $43 million. You know, all these universities have millions of dollars. They're paying their professors hundreds of thousands of dollars a year and just passing all those costs on to the student.
Every dollar, like all these new buildings, everything's going up in every college. And then the price just goes up when they're like they're sitting on tens of millions.
Well, the other part is you have a ton of donors to the university that basically generate the scholarships and generate the endowments. Like, you know, I'm very fortunate. I'm on alumni council at my small school I went to, Muskingum University.
Yep.
Maybe hopefully one day, you know, I'm very fortunate enough to be on the board of trustees. But that being said, I got to kind of witness how things work in the school system. And you're exactly right. Like, a lot of these projects are funded by donors.
I'm sorry, but
yeah,
and I have a big correction. I'm going to correct something. D, that's $52 billion, yep. Not a million, a billion, dude. Like, they could send the next 100 years of the next 100 years of college students to school for free if they wanted to.
So $52 billion just sitting there. Unbelievable.
Money's basically coming in. My point there was money's coming in from all kinds of different directions.
Yep.
So there has to be, again, supply and demand is the only way to fix it. But
can the government come in and say, hey, you have to relinquish some of that money and drive down the cost of school?
That, I mean, public.
I mean, can they do that?
They can do it. Because
I'm like, if they're sitting on all this money and they keep on jacking up the costs, like, how do you make them spend the endowment money? I've always thought about that. And I'm glad you brought it up, but there's no solution to that. I don't know what you do, especially for a public college.
Public, you can do anything you want, basically. Private, you can't do anything.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about recession. Is it coming?
Well, let's talk about the inverted yield curve that just signaled a recession.
Well, it's inverted three times this year. It just didn't do this. It's done. This is the third time it's done this year.
I'm pretty sure it's only been a false signal once.
And just so everyone has an idea of what we're talking about. So the 2-year treasury and the 10-year treasury, typically if you get a 2-year, like I'll just use a CD at the bank, right? If you got a 2-year CD and it pays 3%, if you got a 10-year, you'd hope it'd pay 5%.
Yeah.
It's actually upside down where the 2-year pays more than the 10-year. That shouldn't happen. It's happened three times this year.
It's happening because people aren't betting on the short-term economy. They're betting on basically, you know, the long-term buying up long-term bonds because they think that there's going to be a lot of issues in the short term, which signals again that, you know, there possibly is a recession and most likely is a recession coming around. And it's happened three times this year. And that's very rare. Usually doesn't invert that much. You know, once it inverts, usually it stays inverted and then it goes back up eventually.
The inversions have been very short.
Yeah.
But let's talk about that's an indicator, but Atlanta Fed real GDP readings are coming in negative. We will know in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, if it's negative, but Atlanta's already saying it's -2.
Yep.
It is not going to, it's not quote unquote close. It's not 0 or -0.5. It's -2. So recession's here.
The range is -2% to positive 1.8%. So essentially nobody knows what the heck is going on. It's kind of what that tells me.
Yep.
Every analyst's street estimate is just all around. Nobody knows where inflation's coming in at this point. Nobody knows where, you know, GDP's coming in. So it's a coin flip. And in our opinion, I think it's greater than probably a coin flip chance that we're in a recession. It's like, you know, 70-80% probably.
I believe that. Well, so all right. Has the market priced in a recession? The market's had a terrible June. So is it priced in?
No, not. I mean, a partial small recession's priced in, but not a long and deep recession. We haven't seen anything happen in the economy. Yeah, inflation's hot, but people have been still spending money. They just finally stopped spending money. Like, you're seeing that the credit card balance is rising. Like, now it's starting to stabilize a little bit. You're seeing that with the inflation reports kind of stabilizing a little bit. Like, yeah, all this stuff is starting to stabilize and tip over, but we haven't seen pain. What happens when everyone's losing their job? Like, what happened? I'm not saying everyone, but what happens when unemployment ticks up from 3.6% up to 5%? Like, that's when you're going to start to see people like default on their loans, default on maybe houses, especially with the housing, you know, interest rates, what people are paying. And right now, like, people are going to get in trouble. Like, we haven't seen that yet. We're going to start to see that in the next year, I think.
Yeah, and maybe even sooner. So, Luke, you don't think it's priced in. Derek, do you think it's priced in?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I totally agree with what Luke said. You know, I don't know if it's cool, but, you know, the cool thing about economics is you can, like, go outside your house and you can see what's going on. When gas prices first started going up, the line at Costco for gas was like around the corner, right? It wasn't even worth waiting in, you know, before I do my shopping. That has gone away in the last couple of weeks. There's basically no one in line at the gas station. So what does that mean? Well, I think that means that people are finally starting to feel the pressures of all of these inflationary, you know, measures out there, and they're stopping to spend money. They're not going to drive as much when they don't need to. They're not going to spend as much when they don't need to. And it's the precursor to what's coming next. So,
that's what you're going to see is these Q2 earnings that are coming up here, I think, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, you're going to see a ton of guidance down.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't seen that yet in the market. And that being said, I mean, the market's discounted a little bit of that, but like, I think it's going to be worse than a lot of people expect. Tony, what do you think?
I think June was a bad month, especially the end of it. And I still think the retail investor, when they officially see the word recession, they're going to freak. But I you're already seeing some of the recessionary stocks go down, like oil. Oil fell 10% this week, you know, and stuff like that. It's getting priced in, and we're weeks away from the actual headline. But at the end of the day, I mean, we're not just stop. I mean, you see less people driving their cars, but honestly, at the end of the day, I mean, we're not going, like, the economy's not coming to a screeching halt. Right. Recession's not a bad word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's actually, like, think about when if you work out, like, you have to take a break. You can't just keep on pumping out reps. You got to like take a 30-second break, and then you can get going again and be powered up.
The problem is, throughout history, though, every recession we've had, we've pumped more liquidity into the markets, into the economy right after the recession. So the bubble just keeps getting bigger and bigger, right? When do we actually have a recession, let things recalibrate, and stop pumping liquidity from the federal government and the Federal Reserve?
Well, I don't think the Fed will take their foot off the gas on increasing interest rates. I have not seen them talk about tapering the balance sheet.
Yeah.
That has not stopped it. It's been
20 years now. We've kind of inflated this bubble. It's time to let it kind of fall out a little bit, because we can't continue on this path forever. That's the one thing.
I agree.
I don't think we're going to see a bottom capitulation until people I'll just use the 401k for example. No one stopped. Not many people have stopped contributing their 401ks.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people have taken their 401ks to cash. Like, it's just one of those things people leave in there. They consistently go. We haven't seen true panic yet. When you see people going cash in their 401ks, and you see the VIX around 40 or above,
the market hasn't capitulated yet.
Yeah, so that's why I think we probably got another. You know, we could see another 10 to 20% down to 3,000 area. 20% from here is 2,900.
Yeah, the panic selling has not started. Like, there's panic out there,
mm-hmm.
But it's not the mass panic.
Yeah, and it's not going to be a straight down. Like, it's not going to be like next month we're down another 15%. It's probably from here, you know, it's probably going to be a gradual over the next 6 months. I think it's going to be your gradual bear market. You're going to rip higher 5%, then drop 10%. Then rip mm-hmm. higher another 5%, drop 10%. You know what I mean?
All right. And then one last topic. We'll shift gears one more time, and it's red states winning. Wall Street Journal says what? That the Republican-ran states are winning post-pandemic economies. Why? Because they opened up earlier? I mean, you know, this article says it's better weather and lifestyle. Like,
better
come
weather.
On, man. Like, no, that's not true. Cheaper housing, better weather, less get out of here. Anyway, I do feel that it's because they started earlier. A lot of people, when they were still locked up, started looking over, stayed over, saying, oh, man, that looks pretty good. You know, like a little bit freedom. You want to give me the freedom to go outside and open things up? Yeah, I'm in.
Well, there's a couple of things going on there. You had a massive amount of people move to red states like you were talking about there. And then you also have the work from home trend, to where, like, you know, if you're a software developer and you're working from home and you can kind of, you're young, you want to go travel, like, you could go stay in Florida for 6 months at an Airbnb or, you know, a hotel, and you're going to stimulate the local economy there. So I think that I think the work from home trend over the past year and a half actually helped out a lot of these red states, because they're vacation areas.
So it says the red states are winning, but if you got people moving from a blue state to a red state, will that affect the polling?
Yes.
and turn them blue?
That's that I talked about. I'm worried about that. This is something I mentioned a year ago. I'm like, I'm actually very, very worried that some of these red states are going to turn blue and the blue states turning red. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, because the thing is, people, we only hear about the extreme left, extreme right when it comes to politics, but the majority of people are somewhere in the middle. They're rational human beings. They're logical. Like, they understand how things work and they want to be free, because that's, as human beings and as Americans, like, we just celebrated 4th of July. We like our freedoms. And, you know, I think a lot of red states and, you know, a lot of the right-wing crowd, you know, we acknowledge that, you know, we appreciate those freedoms and we don't like the government infringing on what we do. And I think a lot of people kind of realize that. And that's why I think it's going to be a bloodbath in November. I think it's going to be a nice, you know, red wave in November, because people are sick and tired of losing their freedoms. And we continue to give that up. Even with, we can talk, you know, it's a whole different conversation with privacy things and stuff like that.
So then the one thing, like, I was, you know, I saw that article, but man, the thing that's really driving me right now is the the next presidential election. So my two biggest, you know, bogeys out there is Biden going to run again? And then also is Trump versus DeSantis, man. Like I've read and watched, and you know, just Trump will just jump on anybody. It doesn't even matter who you're, if you're on his side or not, you know. And but man, they would be great. Like in my opinion, DeSantis would be great for Trump because it would give us 12 years or give the Republicans 12 years in the White House with that team. But can they get along? Because I've seen some articles and like, hey, I helped you win Florida, DeSantis. And it's like, no, you didn't. Like, they've jumped on each other a few times. But I mean, like, all right, let's have a private 2 or 3 hour meeting and squash that and move forward. I don't know if the Don can do that.
The one thing I am concerned about is you kind of have this division in the right wing Republican Party with Make America Great crowd, like the Donald Trumps of the, like, only want Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And then you have the other people that kind of don't want Donald Trump and somebody else. So you kind of see this division. That's one thing. Like, I'm not too worried about November. I already discussed that, but I am kind of worried about, you know, maybe 2024. I think that, you know, Republicans going to get voted in. But it's going to be closer, I think, than a lot of people realize, because we are, you know, party's pretty divided.
Divided on our
mega or somebody else.
I
and DeSantis
I agree
might be
you.
Able to help bridge that, but I don't know if Trump's ego is going to get in the way there. It probably will.
Spoiler alert: it will. Right. Yeah, it's definitely going to get in the way there. Yeah. He's definitely going to run again. There's no question about it, and it's going to be a complete shit show. But yeah, I like DeSantis a lot. You know, he. But he's got also a lot of Trump in him as well.
Yes.
You know?
That's
going to butt heads.
They're almost the same person when it comes to their, you know, mannerisms, their mm-hmm. mentality. And normally I've seen that in business life. Like, it doesn't work.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, what happens when you get two D's in the room? Two dominant personalities.
Yeah, it's not good normally.
It's not good.
It normally, you know, somebody needs to win and there's two people there. They can't work side by side typically. But like I said, can a 2 or 3 hour private room discussion squash that?
There's nothing suburban cigars can't fix.
And that's how I like to operate in my life is like, hey, I whatever happened in the past is over. Like, can we get to the next level and make it better? So I don't think.
Trump versus Hillary again. Oh, I'm going to have to move to Costa Rica or something. Never come back.
Does Biden run again?
No, I don't think he can.
There's no way he can physically run again.
Okay.
No, I mean, no, his decline so even the past right year and a half has been substantial.
It really has.
All right.
Well, and I don't think
2024 is going to be interesting.
I truly do. I have a lot of buddies, you know, that do lean left, and even a lot of them aren't happy with what's going on.
Yeah, no.
So, I mean, I really don't think he has a chance. If he did, I think the Democratic Party is going to have to run somebody else, even if he wanted to.
Right.
They may trot him back out there because they know he's going to lose and then save whoever they have next for the next election. But because, yeah, I mean, I don't even have any names.
See, I hate talking about this because the only reason I politics just irritates me.
Yeah.
Just because it shouldn't be left, right. It should Democrats, Republicans. That's what the system's turning
into. I just want someone to run the country.
I just want somebody that's going to do normal, the best
normal?
For America.
Yeah,
that's
normal.
That's going to be.
Hey, spoiler alert, I've actually voted Democratic sometimes in my life because they're just normal people. Guy sounds normal. I'll take that. Like,
I just
right
want
now,
the government,
nothing's normal.
I just
nothing
want the government.
Is, everything
to,
is extreme.
I just want the government to stay
it.
Out of everyone's business.
Yes.
I just want to be able to go on my own property, shoot my guns.
Not
and
in Westlake.
Go in my barn. No, I wasn't allowed to shoot off fireworks either, but everyone was anyway. So
well, you fire them off and run away.
Yep.
And my neighbors lie.
Sure. Sure. All right, guys.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening today. Have a great week. If you have any questions, comments, show topics, hit us up at info@swpconnect.com, and we will talk to you next week.
The opinions expressed in the podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any investment, legal, financial, or tax strategy. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. Please consult a qualified professional about your individual needs.